Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, how important is the public reading of Scripture in a worship service?
Well, you just hit one of my hot buttons, Dean. I have very, very strong feelings about it. So are you ready for just an emotional response?
Yes, absolutely.
I think that this is one of the great areas of neglect in the church. Now, there are exceptional churches where they read the Scriptures publicly very, very well, and I applaud them. For the most part, it's not done nearly as well as it should be, and that's a passion of mine.
So what can a pastor do to make Scripture readings come alive?
Well, the pastor's key to all of that. Interestingly enough, some years back, my wife and I did a series of broadcasts. In fact, I remember doing those, and we had a very positive response from listeners to what we were saying. And in my mind, if we could go back and kind of tap into that resource, I'll give you not just a fast answer, but a very extended answer. How's that?
That sounds like a good idea. So let's listen to the first one of those broadcasts.
I'm Ted Seeley. One of my delights as announcer for the Chapel of the Air is seeing practical information enhance the lives of our listeners. This 14-part series, Down with the Dulls, gives invaluable aid to both pastors and lay people for making the public reading of Scripture an exciting and memorable event. Listen as our hosts, David and Karen Maines, introduce new concepts of Bible reading in the church.
In the current battle for the Bible, I fear we face a problem more serious than that of whether or not it's inerrant. Unfortunately, little has been said about the issue we plan to raise for the next 3 weeks here in the Chapel of the Air. David Maines welcoming you, good friend, and saying, yes, if people are made to suspect that Scripture is sometimes flawed, that's very serious. But it really doesn't matter if already they're convinced that God's written word is dull and uninspiring. Because if that's the case, they won't be reading it anyway.
And I'm Karen Maines, and David and I are convinced that one of the things that contributes to the Scripture is dull syndrome is the poor way in which Scripture is read publicly in our churches. Saying this differently, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you were inspired by the public reading of Scripture in your Sunday morning worship service?
It's a good question, Karen, and I think most people would be hard-pressed to come up with such an occasion. In radio, we have what's called the tune-out factor. I'm always fearful while I'm talking that someone's going to switch me off or maybe change stations. I wonder on Sunday mornings when it's time for the Bible to be read if there isn't a lot of tuning out that goes on and people just go somewhere else in their thinking.
Oh, I'm convinced of it. I think we are almost programmed because no effort has been made to make it any different. We are almost programmed to fade out, to think about different things. The public reading of the Scripture in Sunday morning services is the flat point of the worship service, and I think our expectation is that it will be dull.
Surveys of the laity have been made, and that is proven by their response to questionnaires that have been given. Why is this? If we could explore some of the reasons, like in my own mind, I think one very serious thing is that most times people don't rehearse the reading of Scripture. Often it's last minute. I've been in situations where people have said at the very last minute, would you be willing to read Scripture for us, as though they never expected that it would be rehearsed in any way. And sometimes if people are given assignments a couple days ahead of time, they still don't read them first because they stumble over words, and it's not necessarily nervousness. It's just that it's as though they've never looked at it before.
I think that's very true. Another reason is that the people who read Scripture have not allowed it to engage them on an emotional level. They have not had it speak to them in a way that they can convey the meaning, therefore, to the congregation. And what they are saying, in effect, is that this is not important. And that's the communique that is received by the congregation.
Scripture has a certain sound to it as well. When we go to watch Shakespeare, it takes about 2 to 3 minutes to come out of the world we've been in and to get used to this new sound of language. If the Shakespeare play lasted for about a minute and a half, we never would get used to it, but that's how it is with Scripture many times. You just are getting used to the language, and then it stopped. and you haven't really had the chance to tune into it yet. Complication even beyond that is the fact that there are so many different versions of the Bible that oftentimes the version that's being read is different than the one you're trying to follow.
I think another reason that we do such a bad job at the public reading of Scripture is that we have a fear of mishandling the Word.
Yes.
And so we have veered to the opposite extreme. We handle it poorly. And I think if we could just capture the Old Testament flavor of the reading of the Word, where there was great drama, I'm thinking particularly of the Psalm of Ascents, those psalms that were sung by the congregation as they ascended the steps of the temples with horns blaring and the banners flying. My goodness, what an incredibly dramatic montage for the giving out of the Word. If we could just get a little bit of that into our Sunday morning services, I don't think Scripture would be dull at all.
People are afraid, and during this series, I think we might stretch them some, but you can be so afraid you never do anything, and that's flaw in itself as well. Maybe, just maybe, there is a problem here we're too embarrassed to talk about. It would be this way. The Bible is dull. When you come right down to it, if you read it privately or read it publicly, it just isn't that interesting. What would you say?
Well, David, them there are fighting words as far as I'm concerned. There was an incredible phenomenon that occurred in London. And then this phenomenon jumped the ocean and appeared on Broadway, of all places, where the theaters were packed and the crowds in the theaters would stand and give standing ovations, clapping wildly, to a man, one single actor, reciting the whole Gospel of Mark.
That's right. I remember that. That's all he did. He didn't even depart from the text, did he?
No, and I think that that is what we want to capture. And I think those audiences were so overcome and so surprised by the beauty of what they had assumed would be dull, that I can safely answer your question by saying that Scripture is not dull. It's what we do with Scripture that makes it seem dull.
So you think if that man who did it in the theater were to do it in our church services and go for the entire time it would take to recite the Gospel of Mark, people would appreciate it?
They'd love it. They'd think it was beautiful. They would weep and cry, and they would hurrah.
Yes, I'm in total agreement. There's an interesting text I want to work off from for this series. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. "Till I come," writes the Apostle Paul to Timothy, "attend to," and then he gives three things: the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Now, that's the whole sentence. We have given a great deal of attention to preaching, and teaching has had more than its share as well, but we haven't paid too much attention to the public reading of Scripture.
I would say that we have woefully neglected it.
Yeah, and this is a serious problem that has had a lot of ramifications. So if we put into a sentence where we're going, at least in this introductory broadcast, to a three-week series, it would sound this way: Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. Now, where Paul says here, attend to, if you read today's English version, it translates it this way: give your time and effort to. So I've used the today's English version as I put the sentence together. Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. Now, a question, Karen. Do you think if in public services the Scriptures are handled better, it will have any effect on people's private lives and how they treat God's Word?
Oh, I can't see how it couldn't help but contribute. I think that the vast majority of lay people sitting in our congregations have great difficulty getting into the Word of God. And I think part of this is because we, Sunday after Sunday, give out a message that Scripture is not interesting. And I think that if we can heighten their possibility factor, if we can say, look how important this is, look how beautiful this is, look how powerful this is, when they go to the private reading of the Scripture, there will be a heightened expectation that says, this can happen not only in public, it can happen to me in private. So I think it is our responsibility to work very hard on this, because it will stimulate the layman in the pew to expect Scripture to be lively.
I have a feeling, Karen, that if music had never been used in the church, and someone came along and said, "Now I want you to listen to this song being sung," and then in the course of the week, People were surprised that the song was in their hearts and in their mouths and in their minds through the course of the week. That isn't too dissimilar to what could happen in terms of this topic we're talking about, the beautiful reading of God's Word in our public services that will have ramifications all through the ranks in the lives of our people in their homes and in their personal walk with the Lord. So let's give just an overview of where we're headed in this series. We're surveying the problem today. Tomorrow I want to talk about when it's your turn to read the Bible at church, Wednesday.
We'll be talking about simple extras for solo readers.
Just some little tiny things that will help enhance your own public reading of Scripture. And then on Thursday, we're going to complicate things just a little bit. Instead of one voice, we're going to talk about two voices, maybe a husband-wife reading the Bible together in the church, or maybe two teenagers or two men. Just like with duets, you know, or trios, we're going to start to expand in terms of the numbers so that by Friday, you're ready to listen to
family readers. Now, we've all heard about the Von Trapp family singers, and we're suggesting that it might be a wonderful exercise for little small family units to form together and say, how can we read the Scripture with delight so that it will impact our congregation? David, we could form the Von Mains Family Bible Readers.
I don't think that name works, Karen, but last Sunday I was preaching in another town, and one family was sick and couldn't do their family musical presentation. But the man in charge said, no problem, we have another family that none of you have ever heard before, and they sing together. And this family came up, and they did a beautiful job. I kind of see all across the country the same thing in relationship to families who are skilled at reading the Scriptures in public, so that when one family is sick, no problem, we have many families in this congregation who know how to read the Scriptures well, and they come right up and fill in. Well, that's this first week. The second week, our desire is to talk about congregational matters like responsive readings, antiphonal readings, chant, special readings on special occasions and such, and we're headed toward week three when our emphasis will be
on calling out small groups whose hearts are committed to taking the dull out of public reading. Caretakers who love the Word of God and know it is not dull, who will take special responsibility for finding ways to enhance the reading of the Scripture as it's read publicly.
So our goals are very big for this series. That last week, the final broadcast will give some listener hints because it's not all in presentation. Part of it is how you are going to respond to what is being read.
And our feeling is that we want you to have the same sort of response that those theater audiences had when they were able to hear the Gospel of Mark recited in its whole. We want our hearts, when Scripture is read in our churches, to rejoice and to applaud and to be moved and to be shaken to its very soul. And that's our goal.
And we would really encourage you to be with us all during the series. I have a fear, even though we're going very slowly, that someone will hear day one and then maybe day seven, and they're going to say, oh my goodness, that's radical. But we're going to slowly build through the series. Be with us every day, if at all possible, okay?
Well, David, I thought that was a very interesting broadcast, and the truth of what you talked about is as alive today as it was when it was recorded a number of years ago.
You probably would be interested, Dean, because you're a very good reader of Scripture. I've heard you, and I would almost be willing to put money down on the fact that you rehearse what you do, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Always.
It takes that, doesn't it? Even
yes.
If you're very, very good at it, you still say, I want to be on top of this. So, yeah, it's fascinating. I don't know how long ago. That must have been 30 years ago we recorded that. And you know what? Things haven't changed a whole lot over those 30 years in terms of the public reading of Scripture.
Well, it was good information, and I think we should go back and listen to some more the next time we have a podcast. We certainly are glad that you joined us for this time together. We know that you found the SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.